Hey, good morning. It's Thursday here, a little rainy today. Welcome back, Cricket here. Got my coffee sitting up to the side. This is chapter 3 in the book. Here's the question. Two particular blogs I put together in this chapter, one called Life and Knitting, and the other one is Handmade Gifts from One Generation to Another. My parents were a knitter and a crocheter, and I'll let you figure out which one is which. And I got my love of doing both from them. So I've taken both of those kind of subjects and done a little chicken soup for the soul with getting through life and kind of doing a little bit of comparison. So you're going to get, you'll have a little break between chapters in case you need to get a drink or do whatever, and I will see you at the end to wrap up this session.
Picture a skein of wool and a pair of knitting needles or a crochet hook. If you are a knitter or crocheter, your mind starts running with all the ideas of things that you can create with those simple items. I can remember growing up that Mom and Dad both did amazing things with yarn or wool, as it's called here in Australia. Mom was always knitting. She had this great slipper pattern, and I wish I would find it again. It seemed to last forever. Mum told me the story of how Dad can crochet. I had bought a magazine on learning to crochet with some yarn and a hook. I bought it home to have a try. Dad actually picked it up and ran with it. You know what kind of work he can do, so the rest is history. Dad, who was a real perfectionist, would do the most amazing and unique work. If he would a mistake, would rip it back and correct it, then work his way back to where the entire yard was crocheted back up. Dad would get calls from a shop in Newark where they lined, asking him to stop in to pick up a repair job. By the time Dad was finished, you never knew there was a problem. I have been able to turn my love of knitting and crocheting into a business of its own. When I still lived in the USA, people would hire me to create a wool, yarn, project for them that they wanted to give as a gift. They couldn't knit or crochet, but they knew what they wanted. After a consult with my customer, it was my time to go to work. I had many return customers and a great little business going. I started Cricket's Road through wool projects to help me finish those works that have been sitting for years. When I turned 50, I tried my best to really learn throughout that year for anything and everything new, and to challenge myself. To try and help me remember why I love knitting and crocheting. It has also helped me in learning new elements of crochet and knit. I stepped outside my comfort zone and made some video diaries. In two entries on my blog Cricket's Road through Wool Projects, I take a look at how my love of knitting and crocheting came from my parents. When I turned 50 and made it a year-long project to learn all I can, new projects and new stitches. Even today I still look at all the videos and patterns I can to try and find the perfect project. I take my love of knitting and look at how we knit or crochet through our life. Looking at each element of knitting and how the choices of what yarn to use or what happens to pick can make a big difference. I am a mad knitter. Always got more projects going than I should, but I somehow in the end managed to get things done. I am always having projects in various stages and trying to make sure that each gift is unique and special. Life and knitting kind of go hand in hand in some ways. From choosing the right wool, yarn, and knitting needles to the stitch you want to use, to the pattern. Let me try to explain a little. When starting to knit something, you need to look at if it's a gift or a just because. I call it a just because gift, cause that's what it is. I do it because I want to. You could use that thought process in making decisions about something. Is it for me, or will it have an effect on those around it? It's a positive / negative flip. Will the gift of decision turn the negative into a positive? Okay, you have chosen the gift. Now you need to choose wool. Here in Australia we have 4 different plies of wool to consider. 4 if you include baby yarn. We have 5 ply for the lightweight things like baby afghans and scarves. 5 ply decisions are the easy things. They don't hold much weight, and the outcome might not be noticed, but it gets the job done, but it works up easy and quick. Simple stitches are better in 5-ply. Then there is 8-ply. Standard, the 8-ply in America is heavier than the 8-ply here in Australia. It has taken a little getting used to the difference. Those are the decisions that take a little more consideration and look at the possible outcomes. This is where I tend to look at color and seeing if the gift I'm making needs specific color. Is it going in the lounge room, or is it team colors? This is where the positive / negative comes into play again when applying to life. What's the good and bad things about the decision that need made? How would the possible outcome change things? Make things better or worse? If I don't choose the right combination of colors, why did I spend all that time on the project anyway? Then there is 12-ply, the heavy-duty wool. Good for jumpers, sweaters, and what I call blankets, here it's rugs, or Afghan. Things become a little more difficult. You need to take a little more time in making the choice, make sure you have all the bases covered. Have you considered all the little things and make the choice you need to? Once I choose the wool, I look at the size of needle I need. I stick close to the pattern when doing a sweater. You have to, or you have one sleeve longer than the other, or you can't get your head through the neckline. This is where the tool you have gathered over life comes in. Can you make a good informed decision? Have you really looked at it from all angles and can you truly deal with the outcome? Are you prepared for what may happen that it could turn out totally different from expected? If knitting with 12 ply wool with size 5 needles, it's going to be a struggle. It will take twice as long as if you use, say, a size 9 needle. Might take a little longer, but you can see the results a little quicker. Then there is the stitch pattern. Do you want it simple or a design? I normally determine that by how much time I have to complete the gift. Is it something that needs to be done in a short amount of time? So I tend to choose the garter or seed stitch. I can do it without much thought, but the job is done. Quick decisions that don't hurt too much and need to be made pretty quick. If I have time, then I tend to go for the hard stitch like a cable, but that can be simple or complex. Simple cable stitch, a simple decision but a pretty firm outcome. Complex cable slowed down decisions that need time to make. You might not see the outcome of the decision for a while, but as you keep knitting, you see the pattern or answers start to appear. You get to see your work in progress as you go, which can be encouraging, but it's the dread mistakes you have to be care to avoid. You rush into it and you're ripping it out to fix things. Make the decision too quick, and have you left yourself room to fix minor hiccups, or is it too little too late? Finally, you get to start binding off that rug, the light at the end of the tunnel. You're so close to finishing, you stay up all night to finish. You see the decision you made finally pay off. By taking the time and considering all the issue, you make an informed decision and you get the outcome you hope for. The knitting project you have spent so much time and love on has turned out the way you wanted. You're proud that what you have taken the time to do, consider all the options, use all the correct tools you had at your disposal, produce something you are proud to share. Here's the question: how's your life knitting going? Growing up, I can remember my mom and dad doing needlework. Mom was an avid knitter and dad crocheted. Yes, you read that right, my dad crocheted. He did beautiful work, he was really good at it and was very picky about it. It had to be just perfect or he would rip it out back to the mistake and do it again till it was right. Mom was the same. Dad's specialty was what we Yanks call Afghans, to the Aussie it's rugs. I can remember him getting calls from a local yarn shop to do repairs on rugs. By the time Dad was finished, you couldn't even tell it had been damaged. Mom's specialty was house slippers and sweaters. Took her a day to do one house slipper. I learned from both of them and to this day still crochet and knit. What was so special about the handmade gifts from Mom and Dad is I knew they were made with love. They took the time to create something special just for me. I learned from them both to create things. I am also a self-taught quilter, I can make my own clothes and a self-taught cross stitcher. The learning process was tough. All the times I cried when Mom or Dad made me rip out something that wasn't right. I understand that now, it was a learning process. I had to fix the mistake so it was right, looked how it's supposed to be. Makes me wonder something: if we would go back and rip out parts of our life and fix the mistakes, would life be any better, or have we really learned from them and moved on? One year for Christmas, Mom and Dad gave my first husband and me a big box. The card read, "Happy anniversary, we got married on December 7, 1985, no longer married." Mom made the comment that she had been waiting for me to ask Dad for what was in the box. It was a beautiful Afghan that Dad still needed to finish. We had some great wall space and asked him to turn it into a wall hanging for us, which he did. Mom knitted rugs and house slippers for me. When my girls came along, they each made something special for them. I had sure that when the girls got older and able to appreciate the work that had gone into them, that I gave what Mom and Dad had made. It was their link to them. Something tangible that they could look at and would hold good memories. Pass on to their kids. I have made the girls things for me, so when I am away from them, they still have a little piece of me there. Guess I kind of do that when I make anything I give as a gift. Give a little piece of me. Each thing Mom and Dad made had that quality that only handmade gift carry. When I hear that friends are having babies, I always make sure the new addition has something handmade. Guess it's my way of leaving my mark on the world of that person. I think we all hope that we do that with those who are important to us. We hope in some small way that for however long we are in their life that we can leave a mark. My parents left their mark in my life and in their granddaughters' lives by the handmade gifts they left for them. Phil always fuses at me for not taking the time to do something for me. Make something that stays at home. I have an ongoing rug that I am knitting in my favorite colors. I can put it down and work on other things when I need to or keep working on it. Yes, you could call it my mark on my life. My parents' generation gift to me was handmade items and the knowledge of how to create my own handmade work. The love and the effort it took to create the piece and in taking the time to teach me how to do it. My generation gift to my girls is the handmade item I have made and the knowledge of how to create their own pieces. Here's the question, what's your handmade generation gift you're leaving behind?
Welcome back. I hope that left you with a little bit to think about in the course of the rest of your day or your week whenever you listen to this. By now you figured out that mom was the knitter and dad's a crocheter. Dad's work was amazing. And when the two of them teamed up on a project, it was just stunning. And they mainly did as wedding gifts and things. And dad had taken one project to a craft show and was offered $500 for it. And dad was like, I'm sorry, I can't sell it. It's here for display only. So that was pretty cool for that. So I hope you're enjoying the being able to listen to the book. We've got chapter 4 coming up. And chapter 4, I'm flipping to my notes here. Chapter 4 is the pride and tradition of Ohio State. I was born and bred Buckeye, and you'll hear more about my love of Ohio State next week in those next chapters. So thanks, everybody. Have an amazing week. Stay safe and grab a coffee. I'll see you soon.